Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak at Shalom, and we are now studying Masechet Avodah Zarah. We're on Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph at the bottom, at the beginning of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. We're going to begin with a piece that is familiar to us from the previous discussion about selling Behemah Daka. Ein ma'amidin behema bepundekaot shel ovdei kochavim mnei shechashudin al harviya. Our Mishnah, and this is really only the first half of Mishnah Aleph, was made up of three segments. Each one of is premised on the idea of a chshad, a suspicion, that ovdei kochavim engage in certain nefarious behavior when left alone with a person or an animal, and as a result, we're not allowed to be or leave one alone with them, because of concern that may happen. So the first one is, in Mamidin Behema Punta Gochal of the Kochavim, you may not leave an animal in their inn, Mnesha Chashudin Al Harivia. They are suspected of bestiality, and as we saw earlier, that's a violation of Lifnei Iver. Now the next two, we're not going to deal with in this or the next Shiur, because we're going to focus on that particular issue, but Veloti Techeid Isha Imahem, Mnesha Chashudin Al Harayot, a woman should not be alone with them. We'll see what that means, meaning to what extent. A man should not be alone with them because of a concern of violence. So between Gilui Arayot, sexual impropriety, and Shvichut Amim, one is not allowed to be alone with them. What that means, the parameters, etc., we'll deal with later. Urmini, here's the challenge to the issue of the animals. Lokhin mehen behemala korban, you may buy animals from the non-Jews and use them as a korban, even though lurking in the background of this breita is the concern that the point that an animal that is nearby or rovea that was used for bestiality is pasula korban. That's one of the first passages in Torah Kohanim. Ve'ein choshin lo mishum roveya, v'lo mishum nirba, v'lo mishum mukze, v'lo mishum ne'evad. We're not concerned that the animal was used for bestiality, either as male or female, nor are we concerned that it was set aside, mukze, la'avodah zarah, nor that it was already worshipped itself, meaning it was set aside to use as an offering, or that it was the object of worship. The obvious issue here is, that how can you say that we are not concerned about a reviyah if we say that they are suspected of participating in that? So bishlam muktzav and evad, we understand why we don't have the last two concerns. Im ita da akze vi ita da palche lo have mazbinle. If he had really worshipped it or set it aside to be used as an offering in the avodah zarah, then he wouldn't sell it. Ella Rovev and Nirba Lachush, why aren't we concerned about that? And that will be our focus for the rest of this shiur and the next one about how we reconcile our Mishnah with the implications of this Braita. So the first answer is Arm Tachlif, Arm of Shila, Bar Avina, Mishmei Durav, Oved Kochavim Chas Al Behemto Shilote Akar. This we saw earlier in the first parak is proving that Rav eventually accepted Rabbi Elazar's position that an Oved Kochavim will not do this to his own animal because he is concerned that the animal will become neutered, and as a result of that, in the next podcast we're going to see a modification by Rabbi Yochanan on this, but that he's concerned it will become neutered and then that will be a financial loss to him. Hatei Nachna Kevot, so that only works if the animal is female. Zecharim Ma'ikel Me'amar, what would we say about male animals that the owner may commit bestiality Shalokadarka? So Amrav Kahana, Hoel Umachishin Babasar. Even that causes them to become weakened in their flesh, and it's become weaker animals. Whether that's because the animal is upset as a result and doesn't eat, or because it actually has a physical application to them or hurts them, one way or the other, that's what they don't do. So they'll never have bestiality with their own animals. So you can buy their animals. So El Hadetanya Lokhin Behema Meroesh Shalahan, you're allowed to buy animals from their shepherds. So Lechush Dumaravala Roesh Shalahan, why aren't we concerned that the shepherd had bestiality? And after all, it's not his, so he's not concerned about the financial loss. The answer is he sort of is. Michare Mishum Hefseid Sachar, he's worried he's going to lose his money if the owner finds out that that's what he did to the animal. So that's fine. El Hadetanya In Mosrin Behema Roesh Shalahan, why aren't we allowed to hand one of our animals to their shepherds? So lema roeshal and mitar mishum hafseid sachar. Why don't we say that the shepherd will not violate the animal in that way because he's afraid of losing his money? The answer is inu diyadi bahadad dimirtati. They know each other, meaning the shepherd and the owner is not Jewish. They know each other. They know their own nefarious behavior, and they're afraid of each other because they both suspect each other. Anan deloya dinan behu lomertati. Since we don't know anything about this, they're not afraid of us, and therefore if they take our animal, they'll do it. They won't think they'll get caught because they wouldn't think that we would think about such a thing. Okay, Amar Rabba. Hainu damri inchi. That's the famous adage, bichatva glal labaza, that you can use a sharp implement to cut through marble. Ragu b'chavre yada. In the same way, a person, a spy, knows about his own friend, meaning that it takes one to know one, essentially. And so therefore, the non-Jewish shepherd is afraid that his non-Jewish contractor who's giving him the animals, sorry, the fellow who's giving him the animals, will be on to him because they know each other, but he won't think that we would be on to him, and therefore he would do what he does, and we cannot hand our animals over to them. So therefore, I understand that we should not, and then based on that, though, we should not be able to buy an animal for a korban from them if we're buying a male animal and the owner's a woman. Because, after all, maybe she had the animal come on her, and there's no concern that the animal is going to become neutered, it's a male, or that it's become less, its meat is going to get less. That wouldn't happen. And the answer is, because if she does that with the animal gets attached to her. And then she's afraid, she'll be walking down the street, and the animal's going to be coming after her in a very obvious way, and everybody's going to know what she did. So she wouldn't do that. Alahanatan Rav Yosef, Armalta Lotar Be Kalba, Velo Tishri Barbe Rav Ushbiza. But Rav Yosef taught the following rule, an almana, a widow, should not raise a dog, nor should she have a student stay in her like boarding house. Now, Bisto Barbe Rav Tzniela, we understand that a Barbe Rav is very tzanua, and therefore the concern is that she may be tempted to do something with him, knowing he would never talk about it. Ela Kalba came into Migra Bamirtata, but why shouldn't she raise a dog? After all, she wouldn't do anything with the dog because she'd be afraid that people would discover it because the way the dog follows her in the marketplace. The answer is no. Kevin de chishad yale umtsa. Since everybody knows that if you throw a dog a bone, then the dog will follow her. In other words, she'll do whatever she wants with the dog, and she's not afraid that when the dog follows her in the marketplace, people will say what they say, because they'll say, yeah, she must have thrown the dog a bone, and that's why it's following her. Okay, so now we understand why you're allowed to buy anything from a male owner, because he doesn't want to hurt his own animal. We understand why you can't buy why you may buy a male animal from a female owner, because she's going to be afraid to have the animal have relations with her because of the way it's going to expose her. But nekevot, it's a nekevot, my time. Why can't you buy animals, or shall we say, back in our Mishnah, why are you not allowed to leave a female animal with a female owner? So my time lo miachdin, and why don't we let them be? In other words, our Mishnah just said you cannot put any of your animals in their corrals, regardless of what sex your animal is and what gender the owner of the corral is. What happens is their men go to visit their other friends' wives, meaning they go to have relations with them. He comes and she's not there, and so he sees the animal, so he has his gratification with the animal. Another way to see it is, even if he comes and finds the woman there, he'll still go to the animal. Why? They love having relations with Jewish animals more than their own wives. Okay. The Amar of Yochanan, and where does that all come from? Yochanan has the following, based on the Agadah, it's developed in Masachet Shabbat, B'sha'a Shabbat Nachash Al Chavat, in the Midrashic development of the primeval serpent and Chava. The serpent came up to Chava and not only tempted her, but he wanted to get Adam killed and then to marry her, and that he had relations with her. So he tilbazuama, he put filth inside of her, and that filth created the desire for all sorts of bad deviations and all sorts of things like that, which is why this man may be more interested in having relations with a Jewish lamb than with this other guy's wife. So Yachi Yisrael Nami. So then why don't we say Yisrael? After all, we're all children of Chava. The answer is Yisrael Sham Dol Har Sinai Paskazu Amatan. We were at Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu cut that filth out. But the non-Jews who weren't there, they didn't get it cut out. So then the Rishonim discuss, so how do we deal with Gerim? So Gerim were there, Mazalayu, the Havu, etc. Okay, so the question now is asked, Ibayaluhu ofotmai. Do we say the same thing about fowl? Toshma, Damar Yudom Rashmua, Mishum Rabbi Chanina. We have two eyewitness accounts. Ani ra'iti oved kochavim, I saw a pagan, shalakach avaz minashuk, he took a goose from the marketplace. Riva'am, he had relations with it. Chanka, then he choked it. Tzla'a, he roasted it. V'achla, and then he ate it. Quite disgusting. He took a huge thigh of an animal, carved a hole in the thigh that was enough to could kind of play the role of a receptacle, as it were. He had relations with that, and then he did the same thing. He roasted it and he ate it. And anyways, what that tells us is that the same concern is there with ofot, with fowl. Okay, so that was our first answer. Rav's answer is, why is it that we're allowed to buy animals from them to use as a korban? It's because they're not going to mess with their own animals, nor will the shepherds mess with their own animals with their owner's animals, because they're afraid that it's going to hurt them. In the case of the shepherd, he's afraid that he's going to lose money. But we're not allowed to give it to them, because in any which way, they will not hesitate to have relations with our animals. Okay, Ravina has a different take. Ravina mar lo kasha, halachatchila hadeavad, meaning that our Mishnah is talking lechatchila. Chatchila, you shouldn't let them be with the animals. The avad, we don't assume that they had relations, and therefore you can buy the animal. Since when do we make that distinction with concerns about non-Jews' behavior? The answer is d'tanan. In our Mishnah, it says, a woman can't be alone with them because they are suspected of arayot. Nonetheless, or minhu, if a woman was taken captive by pagans, if it was because of a financial issue, meaning her husband owed some money, hadn't paid, they were trying to recover it, so they took the wife as ransom, then when she's freed, she's allowed to go back and resume relations with her husband. We assume nothing happened. But if it's for either a greater claim than that, or just out of terror, then asura labala, then we assume that they did something. So you see that even though lachatchila she shouldn't be alone with them, but the avad, if she was alone with them, we don't automatically say something happened. So what do you see from here? We distinguish between lachatchila you shouldn't be alone, and the avad, we don't assume something happened. So mimai, who said, perhaps even by the avad it's not good. There's a different reason here why, if the woman was taken captive, we assume everything to be still okay. Because this guy's trying to get money out of the husband. He's afraid that if he has relations with the wife and the husband finds out, then the husband won't pay up. So therefore, he's going to be careful not to do it. And what's the proof? What does it say at the end of the Braita? And the Mishnah, if it was for nefashot, then she is asura labala, which means if you take away that consideration of money, then we have to assume something did happen. Vetulo midi, there's nothing more to say. Ravina has been refuted, and we don't make a distinction between the chatchila and b'diavad, and any concerns we have with the chatchila and b'diavad, we assume that they happened. Third answer, Rabbi Pedatamar lo kasha, ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabbanan, meaning that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there is a suspicion that they really are engaged in this kind of behavior, and that the Braita is authored by the Rabbanan, who say there is no such suspicion. What are we talking about? Gabe Parat Chatat, in the context of Paraduma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Einat Nikechat Min Havdei Kochavim, you cannot buy it from non-Jews. Chachamim Atrim, Chachamim say you can. My love, Akami Palgi, isn't this the Machloket or Belazar Sabah Cheshin Lurvia? Rabbanan Savilo Cheshin Lurvia, whether or not we suspect bestiality. And of course, that's based on the assumption, which will be the beginning of the next podcast, which is that if we knew that there was bestiality, the Paraduma Aduma would be invalid. So Mimai, who says, Dilma Kuliyama Locheshin Lurvia? Maybe nobody considers such a thing. What's his reason? Because of Rav's ruling about Paraduma. Remember, Paraduma cannot have done any work. How little work might have been done that would invalidate it? If you put a string of sacks, of bags, on its back, pasla, it's already pasul. So Rabbi Eliezer says, we're concerned that this non-Jew may not know this halacha, and he knows he can't make the thing work, but he might have put something on its back, and therefore you can't buy it from him. Uve egla, when it comes to egla rufa, where the Torah doesn't say, it's just, meaning it can't have pulled a burden. Ajtim shochba, it has to actually drag it. Okay. So Marsavar Cheshinan, so Beliezer must hold Cheshinan. We're concerned that he puts stuff on the back. Marsavar lo Cheshinan. And Rabbanan say lo Cheshinan, and the disagreement has nothing to do with bestiality. Which, by the way, would mean now that nobody's concerned about bestiality. So lo salkadaitach, that doesn't work. Mishum necha purta lo mafsituva. This guy is not going to put a couple bags on the back just to save himself a couple minutes of going over to the table and putting them or something and lose all the money that he could get for the paraduma. So we're assuming here that they do know the law, and they're not going to cheat on it knowing that they may lose a great amount of money that the Jews would pay for paraduma. So why don't you say the same thing? Just for a moment's weird gratification, he's not going to lose all the money. The answer is hatam yitzor tofu. No, that is yitzor hara got the best of him. So we're back to Rabbi Pedat's answer. The Rabbi Eliezer's consideration may be chashash revia. Chacham say we don't have such a chashash. Again, let's go back to this. Maybe nobody's concerned about revia. Perhaps it's as Shela taught. Tani Shela, my time to Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's reason? At the beginning of the parsha, Parshat Chukat, Hashem says to Moshe, talk to Bnei Israel and let them take for you. But the way we're reading it midrashically is Bnei Yisrael yichu, meaning mi Bnei Yisrael yichu, ve'en ha'ovdei kochav yichu, meaning you can only buy it from Bnei Yisrael. So it has nothing to do with concerns and considerations. It's simply gzirat ha'katuv, you have to buy it from Jews. That doesn't work. Lo salkadaitach, k'natani sefer, the end of that brayta says, v'chein ha'er b'liezer posel b'chol ha'korbanot kulan. B'liezer would invalidate buying any korban from a non-Jew. If you think it's based on what Shela said, in the case of Parah, it says, Kicha, buy it. It doesn't say that about other korbanot. So, at this point, we'd have to say, again, that Rabbi Eliezer's position is simply, we're concerned about Reviyah, and Chacham's position is that we're not. And Rabbi Pedat has been rehabilitated again. Maybe the Rabbanon only disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, Ela parad dame hayikarin. A parah, because it's expensive, and he's not going to mess it up for a gratification. Sharkmanot module, maybe they agree with Rabbi Eliezer about other korbanot, and the machloket is only about paraduma. But if that's the case, velahadatanya, that won't work, because lokhin man beimala korban mani. Our breita that started this whole discussion, which says you may buy animals from them, who's the author? Lora Belezer or Rabbanon. It's not Rabbi Eliezer, and it's not everybody else, which means it's nobody, so that doesn't work. V'yod, you have to look at this. Tanya Behedya, we have a bright, explicit bright that says, "My otivu lechavroi l'Rabbi Eliezer." What did the Rabbanon say back to Rabbi Eliezer when he said you can't buy any korban from them? Kotzon kedai kav tzulach yalu l'ratzon yalu al ratzon mizbechi. What did they say back to him? We have a pasuk in Yeshayahu that a vision of the end of days is that, that great day is that the nations will all come and they'll bring animals and they'll come for ratzon, which means that the Rabbanon certainly hold that that all korbanot, paraduma and korbanot to go on the mizbeach can all be bought from the non-Jews, which means that the brayta certainly fits that, and we go back and say Rabbi Pedat's position has been confirmed, or at least as a possible explanation. That the machloket is whether or not we're choshish the revia. Rabbi Eliezer says we are, and he's the author of the Mishnah. Rabbanon say we're not, and they are the authors of the Braita. Okay, we'll pause it at this point. Pick it up in the next podcast, Mirtz Hashem, in the middle of this discussion, which is relatively long. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.